This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin is in prison. 2 years of denied requests for information. 2 pre-trials in which all discovery was denied. A court-martial with no defense. Total loss of pay and benefits. 6 months in Leavenworth. More than 275,000 references on Google. More than 500,000 views on YouTube. Terry's case brought and has kept the eligibility issue in the news. Now he has sacrificed everything. He needs your support and your energy. Welcome to the Terry Lakin Action Fund Radio Show on America's Web Radio.
And we do welcome you to America's Web Radio, and it is my pleasure to have on with us today Commander Charles Kirshner, retired from the U.S. Navy. And I'm David Moxley. I'm not filling the shoes because I think Marco's probably a bit larger than I am, so I can't fill his shoes, but I'm sitting in the chair for Marco while he's out doing some things. And again, I want to welcome Commander Charles Kirshner, and we're going to be talking about none other than eligibility. And how you doing up there, Commander?
I'm doing fine. On the audio, it's a little bit soft at my end. I'm having difficulty hearing you.
Okay, well, is that a little bit better?
It's a wee bit better, yes.
Okay, well, we'll go with it like that and see if we can't get it where you can hear okay. First off, for the folks that don't know you and don't know your background, could you tell us just a little bit about you? You were one of the boys there to begin with. You were enlisted, weren't you?
Right. I enlisted at age 17 as an E-1 and seaman recruit, and then eventually became into the engineering side of the Navy, served in the engineering departments. But anyway, I spent a total of 33 years serving my country in the reserves, some on active duty as an enlisted person, and then staying in the reserves. I eventually rose up, got promoted up to advanced to E-7, which is the chief petty officer, and then I was on a GI Bill. I got my degrees. I got a degree in engineering and also another one in economics, and I got the opportunity to become a commissioned officer. I availed myself of that and went down to 01, which is an ensign, started all over again, and back up 19 years later, I retired as a full commander, and it was an interesting career.
Oh, I guess now, the branch that you were in the Navy, was that part of the Seabees, is that?
No, engineering duty officers are commissioned officers that... we tend to typically work in shipyards and in research and development and those type areas for the Navy, supervising projects that need engineering expertise.
Huh.
I was an engineering duty officer to rise above a certain level. You have to be a registered professional engineer or have a higher degree at the PhD level. And my qualifications were I was a registered professional engineer in civilian life in the electrical field. So they very actively recruit such people. Just like they have a need for doctors, they have a need for talented engineers.
When you first became an officer and swore your oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America from foreign and domestic enemies, back when you first, well, let's just say when you became an officer, not even as an enlisted, which we understand is not the same oath. I know it's not the same oath.
Right.
But at the same token, we're all pledging allegiance to our country.
Right.
But let's just take from the officer standpoint, and that's what I sort of want to do this whole show around today, is from the military standpoint. Did you ever, in your wildest imaginations, think that you would be defending or supporting a fellow officer just to get facts?
When I took that solemn oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, I never thought I'd ever see the day when I'd be fighting against a domestic enemy of the Constitution. and I never thought I'd have to go see and witness a court-martial of a fellow officer who was standing up for his solemn oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The officer's oath does not expire or retire. I mean, I felt a duty to come forward and still support and defend the Constitution. That is the prime directive of all military officers. Support and defend the Constitution of the United States. That is, the Constitution is a fundamental law of the land. And we are not supposed to disobey unlawful, we're not supposed to obey unlawful orders. And a commissioned officer is charged solely with supporting and defending the Constitution of the United States. That's what your solemn oath says. It doesn't say anything about obeying the orders of a president or obeying the orders of the officers appointed above you. When it comes down to the Constitution, you are to obey and support and defend that. That's the prime directive. So when if a president is illegal, unlawful, and issuing orders that are illegal and unlawful because he himself is illegal and unlawfully the president, the founders and framers in developing this oath intended the officers' corps to not obey that unlawful president and to defend the Constitution. That's what Terry Lakin tried to do. That's what I tried to do. And we have gotten away from the understanding history and our founding documents and why the checks and balances were put there. The commissioned officers' corps was supposed to be the last line of defense for the Constitution. And our current officers' corps is tending to just think of obey orders, obey orders, obey orders, and that's all right for well and good for normal everyday activities. But when the Constitution itself is being attacked by a usurper, they have a duty to stand up and question the unlawfulness of that president. And if 1,000 officers would have stood up with Terry Lakin, the press couldn't have buried it. Because he was the only one who did, they piled on him with relish and punished him for doing what he was sworn solemnly to do. I mean, why administer that oath if it means nothing? If it's just a bunch of words, why even administer it to commissioned officers?
Well, let me while you were on active duty as an officer on active duty.
Well, as an officer, I served on active duty for training periods. I did my 2-year straight active duty as an enlisted person, but I did many, many tours of active duty for training for schools and for annual training just to, in preparation for ultimate mobilization if I was called.
Okay, well, but as an officer, mm-hmm. at any point, did you, you know, it's a two-sided coin between the commander-in-chief and his officers and, in fact, his army and enlisted personnel as well as officers that, you know, like you said, your oath is to the Constitution. By the same token, so is the president's oath.
Exactly.
But let me throw out one other little antidote to this. As an officer, did you ever feel that your president was not in full support of his troops?
Never before in the history of the country did I ever feel that.
Now, why would this guy not come forth so simply and show us his damn birth certificate?
Because he's a phony and a fraud. He's a usurper. He's not who he says he is. We do not know his true legal identity. And that's why when I first saw this man coming on the scenes, political scenes, in early January 2008, I started paying attention to him. The more I investigated, the less I knew about him. I mean, everything about him was being hidden, and he was being touted by the press as the Messiah. And it just, I felt I had to look into this, and more I studied, this man is not a natural-born citizen of the United States, and under the Constitution, Article 2, Section 1, he's ineligible to serve as president, and all lawful orders, all authority, the chain of command starts with a commander-in-chief who's legal and valid, and Obama is not. The whole military chain of command, you go in any base, up at the top there is a picture of the president, and I never thought I'd have to judge an order on its lawfulness under the Constitution, typically you're dealing with orders that don't go to that level. But the founders and framers anticipated this day when they put that check and balances in the officer's oath. When a time comes to and you are receiving an unconstitutional order, that's exactly what your oath addresses. Support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. We have a domestic enemy of the Constitution. He took an oath that he just laughed at. He didn't even understand the words. He's in there to destroy America, not to support the Constitution. He's written and spoken that he thinks the Constitution is a roadblock to his to progress, which is progress in his sense means progressive, which is another word for socialist agenda.
Did you ever think, or had you already decided that Dr. Lakin was going to be railroaded in the court martial?
I knew he was going to be railroaded. Absolutely. He had great courage to do what he did. I mean, there was no question by him standing up alone like that he was going to be railroaded. He was going to be piled on. In the vernacular of a sailor, he was going to get what begins with the letter S and it has threads on it. He was going to get screwed, and he did.
And he did. Now, you know,
the system is out to protect Obama, not the Constitution, and not the common core values of the Army in Terry's case and the Constitution. The common core values of the Army say you should be doing whatever you can to support that Constitution.
Well, let me ask you, how in the hell could someone get to a court-martial judge? Is nobody... incorruptible?
He was a marked man. There was no way he was going to get a fair trial. Just like I sued Obama in the Congress, there's no way I was going to be allowed to get into a court of law on the merits.
Well, just because you're a commander, a retired commander, and a citizen, I don't see why you should have standing.
Just because you're anybody. They said that no single person, no person or group of persons can ask a question about the constitutional eligibility of the president. You don't have standing at all.
Whose country is this?
Apparently, it's a bunch of socialists in Washington D.C. I mean, that's who they think they think they own the country. This is a country founded by we the people acting through our states to create a federal government for the common defense of the original 13 colonies. And they are supposed to be responsible to us and have limited powers, and the coin has been completely turned upside down where they think they are the sovereign authority of our nation and not the people acting through the states.
Commander, we're going to have to take a quick break. I think you're used to this after being on before. We break at approximately the quarter hour, so we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with more of Commander Charles Kirshner right after this.
Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, in obedience to his officer's oath to defend the Constitution, is asking a simple question. Mr. Obama, please confirm where you were born. Terry is not asking to see a secret tattoo or unseal a juvenile record of some youthful prank. All Terry is asking to see is Barack Obama's legal and verifiable long-form birth certificate and proof that Obama meets the constitutional requirements for presidential eligibility. However, Obama, instead of simply answering the question, allowed Terry to be sentenced with no defense to 6 months in prison, and he lost his pay, benefits, and his pension. Get the facts about Terry's case at www.terrylakin.com. The defense of the Constitution is an issue about which every American should be deeply concerned. Get the facts today at terrylakin.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
Welcome back to America's Web Radio and the Terry Lakin Action Fun Radio Show, hosted by Marco. Then Marco can't be here today, so He graciously is letting me sit in his chair. And we have someone that's very, very well known in a lot of areas of conservatism, and that's Commander Charles Kirshner. And Commander, we were talking about the Constitution, and I want to try to sort of keep this, I want to keep this program as much as we can on a military eligibility basis. And you were talking about the Constitution. It's pretty straightforward what you have to do and be to be president. You as an officer and all of your officer peers have sworn the same oath. Why are not more officers coming forward and saying, you know, saying something about this, or saying, you know, let's get the Constitution out, dust it off, and read it one more time?
Well, I think it goes back to the a lot of the training that you were given, is that and the concepts of separation of the civilian control of the military and from the military chain of command itself, in the sense that officers and people in the military are kind of like, well, we shouldn't be involved in political issues. And that's the way this is, the argument's being presented to the world, that this is a political issue. But it's really a constitutional legal issue, and goes right to the core of the oath. And so, but I think a lot of them are torn, saying it's not our place to straighten this out. It's up to the politicians. And the other issue, I think, in some cases, is that people are afraid for their careers. They're afraid that what's going to happen to them is what happened to Terry. You know, they'll be drummed out of the military and they'll lose all their pay benefits and retirement. And Terry gave up a pension plan that was worth a couple million dollars to him over the rest of his life. That's a tremendous sacrifice he did for his oath. Now, if 1,000 officers would have stood up with Terry, they couldn't have done it. They couldn't have got away with it. There would have had to be an investigation. And it may come to that, because, as to paraphrase John F. Kennedy, he said, revolution, but I'll just say resolution instead, is those that make peaceful resolution impossible make violent resolution inevitable. Do you remember that those quoted words from the past?
Yeah, I do.
By the system protecting Obama and continuing to paint themselves in the corner and not allowing a peaceful resolution, either through my lawsuit against Obama and Congress for failing to protect the Constitution and properly vet this man, and or Terry standing up in the military system and saying, I'm being asked to deploy overseas into a combat zone with orders signed off explicitly by the president. I don't know if he's truly legal or not. And the trial, they said his orders came from the Pentagon. Well, that's part of the chain of command, but all foreign deployments, especially with soldiers in combat, must be signed off by orders directly from the president. And he spoke up at West Point ordering 30,000 more troops into Afghanistan after diddling on that decision for months. But he finally issued those orders, and Terry righteously said, I question his authority as to be the president and issue that order. Now, if 1,000 officers would have stood up, there would have been an investigation, and the merits would have come out, and I believe at that point it would have been clearly shown that the president is not legally constituted. He's not eligible. He's not constitutionally eligible. His father was never a citizen, never even an immigrant to this country, not even a permanent resident, and Obama was born a British subject, a British citizen. He's not a natural-born citizen of the United States. And then the political process could have, the Constitution could have resolved the issue, removed the president, held new elections, and resolved it. But instead, the military piled on Terry and just buried it. They didn't allow a peaceful resolution to this. We're going, more and more, this country is drifting towards the latter phrase in Kennedy's statement, because they are not allowing the systems to work. They're all being corrupted to protect this usurper, this unknown. We don't know his true legal identity. He's being protected by corrupted systems that are more concerned with protecting him than getting to the truth.
You know, at this point, the issue of the birth certificate has been beaten around now for 3 years.
Obama doesn't have one.
Well,
everything he's shown is fraud and on the internet.
Oh, I agree. But my question is, I will speak from the civilian standpoint. I would like to address the military standpoint, and I understand what you're saying about, you know, everybody, and I learned when I was in the military, it's a case of CYA. Everybody wants to cover themselves and secure their retirement or whatever. But the point of the story is, if there wasn't anything to hide, then why hasn't he come out with it? So he hasn't, so we can be assured that he is hiding something. I can't believe that every citizen in the United States is up in arms, but we know that they're not. A lot of people.
The reason is the people that are concerned about this are rule of law people. We tend to respect the rule of law, and we expect that our institutions to address this and not to be ignored. We expected Congress to listen to our pleas and hold hearings. Terry expected the military system to call for investigations and get this resolved, and they didn't. It's you know, all the military has been trained for decades and centuries to look for the enemy outside the country. It hasn't been trained to look for one within. We now have a domestic enemy. The very thing that the founders and framers worried about for the future presidents, but we never had to face it until now.
You know, I've got to stop and say, weren't those guys smart?
They were.
I mean, incredibly
smart. They knew human
nature.
They studied thousands of years of history and tried to develop a system of checks and balances that would, by its very nature, check and balance out the flaws of human nature.
Do you think more and more military, whether it's for Terry's sake or just will they wake up to the fact that they have an illegitimate commander-in-chief?
I think all of them know there's a problem, and I think the vast majority of them would agree that there should be an investigation, and this issue needs to be resolved.
Now let me ask this. Let's split it into active and retired. How would you sum up? Do you feel like active duty officers?
Active people are very concerned that they should not be acting without political authority and of the civilian authority, and also protecting their careers. To certain groups of them are in that mode of thinking. The reserves, the people, they are no longer under the UCMJ and can be singled out and punished under that system. Unless you're on active duty for training, you're not subject to the UCMJ, and you can speak out about political issues.
Well, what about retirees?
Retirees definitely can speak out, and there should be more of them speaking out.
Well, how do you feel about retirees? Are they coming forward, or are they seeing the issue and saying, "Well, wait a second, you know, we've got to do something."
Not enough of them. You know, you got Major General Vallely out there and with one of the Dakotas, and a couple other significant generals that have come to support Terry. With affidavits, General McInerney was one, but they're just few and far between, and it's astounding that so many people, even in the military, don't see what's happening. We've never been trained to look for the enemy within in the military, and that's what we're facing right now. And I think a lot of them don't know what to do.
How do we educate them?
I don't know. We need leadership. The military is subservient to the civilian government in our system. We need someone in the civilian government to stand up and demand action.
Well, when you ask for that, I feel like giving up. bring out the white flag. I'm not sure we got anybody that has the intestinal fortitude, certainly in Washington. Perhaps we go back to our states.
I don't see a military coup happening either. I mean, I don't wish for that to happen. What's that going to do us? I see the solution is the states. The states have got to stand up and provide the. They are the ones that created the original Constitution for we the people. They are the ultimate sovereign states that united together and formed the federal government, and they have the political power to force this to a head. And if it ever got to a situation that Obama is being pressured and won't leave, and the political powers are saying you must leave, I'm sure at that point the military is going to be on the side of the Constitution.
Okay, you...
And he's going to leave.
you said that in your lawsuit that you were told you don't have standing. Can a state be told that they don't have standing?
No. The states, they have original jurisdiction under the court system. They can go right to the Supreme Court directly with issues if they choose to. It's just they're so used to doing business as usual with routine type issues that this constitutional matter of the complete usurpation of Article 2, Section 1 and allowing to be elected and sworn in an illegal president, they're at this point they still don't know what to do about it. And the biggest problem we have is the political parties are both in on the fix. They for their own reasons choose not to do anything about it. In the case of the Republican Party, they were in on the fix of the 2008 election by running a candidate with his own natural-born citizenship issues, John McCain, being born in Panama. I mean, he had questions being asked about his natural-born citizenship and how to get a Senate resolution.
But his questions were addressed.
Yes, but the Democratic-controlled Senate, which is the person that looked at the McCain eligibility issues, because McCain was sued. People like to say this is a racial issue. Baloney. McCain was sued for eligibility by a man named Hollander in New Hampshire, and he had to go before the U.S. Senate to vet his eligibility. But when people were questioning Obama, the Senate turned a deaf ear. They didn't hold the same kind of hearing. They just chose to ignore it. Of course, because he was their picked messiah. He was their hand-picked candidate. They made a deal with McCain. We'll give you your resolution so you can run. If you keep quiet about Obama, we had a third person running in 2008 named Calero, who was for the Socialist Party, who wasn't even an American citizen at all. He was born in Nicaragua and he was here with a green card. That's how absurd the 2008 election cycle was for the president of the United States. Complete ignoring of Article 2, Section 1.
You know, just like a Christian always goes back to the Bible. We have, as citizens, we have to go back to the Constitution, read it, know it.
That is the glue that holds a nation of immigrants together. If we lose our Constitution, and we are about to lose it, this nation will fall apart. It will fall apart.
In a heartbeat. On that being said, we're going to have to take another one of our breaks. We'll be back with Commander Charles Kirshner right after this on the Terry Lakin Action Fun Radio Show. We'll be back in just a minute.
Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin spent 5 months in prison after years of seeking confirmation of Obama's eligibility. He ended up in a court-martial with no defense. He needs your support and your energy. How can you help? First, support Terry and his family. He has given up his pay, his retirement, and his benefits in defense of the Constitution. Second, call your state legislators and tell them that never again should a candidate be on the ballot that has not proven his or her eligibility for office, especially for the office of president. Visit TerryLakin.com, that's TerryLakin, LAKIN.com, to contribute and learn more about Terry's case.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
We're glad to have you listening to America's Web Radio, and we're back with Commander Charles Kirshner and talking about the eligibility of the Commander-in-Chief. In my years, I, in the wildest of dreams, never, ever thought that anything could go this far. Even a sex scandal in the Oval Office didn't go as far as this has gone. You were just addressing the fact that the states should be the ones standing up for us. At what point, or do you think there's even a slim chance that we'll see another officer or officers come forth and stand up? And, you know, again, like you said, if 1,000 came forward, maybe if 10 came forward.
I don't see it happening until such time as the violence is imminent, that the military is going to become involved, because why don't 10 congressmen stand up? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
I've written a lot about this, and if I could, let me put on my website real quick right now.
Sure.
www.protectourliberty.org, www.protectourliberty.org, and I also blog at cdrkirchner.wordpress.com. That's cdrkirchner@wordpress.com. But we're at a situation right now. Hold on a minute, please.
Sure. You're listening to the Terry Lakin Action Fun Radio Show, and Marco is letting me. That's no problem. Go ahead.
We're at a situation now where all the systems have broken down, and we've got to get the eligibility of Obama addressed somehow, legally and politically, before we look to the type of scenario where the military just has to act because of violence breaking out, the country's falling apart. That kind of scenario, I think the military would act. They'd have to act. But if that happens, we've degraded to the point of being a banana republic.
Let me ask. I get this question asked of me, gosh, I don't know how many times, a week, a day, whatever. Will our, in your opinion, obviously you don't have a crystal ball, or maybe you do, I don't know, but in your opinion, will the officers lead from the Constitution, or will they fire on their own people?
They won't fire on their own people. No. No.
Would an officer give the command to fire on their own people?
Well, I'm sure there's some officers that would, but there aren't going to be that many of them. I don't even want to think about that kind of scenario. I don't even want to plan for that kind of scenario. I certainly don't want to encourage that kind of scenario. I think we need to address this through the state. I think the Congress is not listening to us. I think the people have got to be watching the forthcoming election, the primaries, and in their states, study the laws for the vetting of candidates in their states and of getting on the ballot. And as soon as find out if their state has a challenge period from when people are put on the ballot for any citizen to challenge that person's eligibility under the appropriate eligibility rules and clauses for that office in the case of the president's Article 2, Section 1, and challenge Obama being put on the ballot in the states. That's what's going to be done in Georgia. That's going to be done in several states. People have got to study the laws in their state and use the laws to try to prevent him from getting on the ballot again. That is the only way I see us bringing this to a head politically right now, because the Congress is doing absolutely nothing. The media is doing absolutely nothing. We've got to work through the states. Now, if that fails, and Obama is out to ruin this country, that's obvious. You saw we've been downgraded for the first time since the Standard & Poor's is in existence to less than a AAA rating. This is Obama practicing the Cloward-Piven strategy. He wants to destroy America. If people don't know what the Cloward-Piven strategy is, just Google on it. Cloward-Piven, P-I-V-E-N, strategy. It's a strategy to load up the American economy with all kinds of entitlements until its government can't afford them anyway, and the economy collapses, and our system of economics collapses. Well, we're starting. The downgrade has been done. Our credit rating, we can't borrow the money anymore. We're not living within our means. He's spent money hand over fist on purpose. He's practicing the Clark-Pippen strategy to bankrupt the country, to cause an economic collapse, at which point, in the Clark-Pippen's ultimate end game, the socialists will take over, offering a solution, and that'll be tyranny. That'll be the charismatic leader who's going to solve it all. Because all socialism programs lead to serfdom. Eventually, all socialist governments lead to tyranny, because all they want is more and more and more control, and eventually it's absolute tyrannical control. You don't have a constitution, you have no rights left. All power is from the ultimate leader.
Let me ask.
We're almost at the tipping point of no return.
And Barnhart.
If we do get to the point where the states start breaking apart, and the country starts collapsing, then the military may do something.
And what do you think they would do?
We'd have another civil war. I'm not advocating that. I don't want that. But that's what Obama wants. He wants the country to collapse. He hates America. He does not believe in our system. You've seen the pictures of him with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag being stated, and he doesn't have his hand over his heart. He refused to wear a flag lapel pin. He didn't like our pledge our national anthem because it was too warlike. You know, he doesn't like this country. He's culturally not an American. He wasn't even raised the early parts of his life in this country. His father's not a citizen. He doesn't identify with this country. He dreams from his father for his book, which was for Marxist socialism taking over the world.
You know, are you familiar with Ann Barnhart? Okay.
She's a real firebrand.
Well, you know, Ann made a very good point that we shouldn't impeach him because that would give him legitimacy. So I got to thinking about that, and she's right. He should be tried as a common criminal. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think that people that say absolutely no impeachment could be the starting vehicle that exposes him, and then he's removed. In other words, if you start the impeachment process to gather the evidence against him, at some point in the process you say this man is not even who he is. He's not. His identity is now known. He's a fraud, and you remove him from office. You don't go to trial as far as impeaching him and convicting him in the Senate under the high crimes and misdemeanors clause and all that. You just say he wasn't ineligible in the first place, and you take him out.
Okay,
I look at his impeachment as a way of getting to the ultimate solution of removing him. I don't think impeachment in a technical sense is the way to get rid of him, no, because he's not legally the president.
Right, exactly. Let me ask this. As an officer, if you found that one of your officers, had said that he had a college degree, and you found out that he didn't, but he had forged the papers, what would you do?
Well, he'd be court-martialed and dismissed. Now, Terry Lakin, when he was called to be mustered to go to Afghanistan, his orders on the very bottom said, bring along a copy of your birth certificate. It didn't say bring it along on a laptop image. He had to bring along a certified, true and correct copy of his paper birth certificate. Obama has never presented a true and correct copy of his birth certificate to anybody of any controlling legal authority. Everything he has is electronic, and it's all forged.
You know, it still comes back to how can 300 million people...
This is the Twilight Zone. Every system of our country is corrupted. Why? To protect one man. And it all started out that he couldn't be attacked because of the R word. You'd be accused of racism. Now you can't attack him. The R word is losing its effectiveness. And now they whisper in the hallways, well, if you bring him down now, there'll be violent riots in the street. So our Constitution is being held hostage by threats of violence from the other side.
And yet the other side is saying the people that are violent are those little gray-haired ladies with their umbrellas in the Tea Party.
Well, that's Saul Alinsky tactics, to blame the other side for what you're doing yourself. We're being on the receiving end of a tremendous propaganda campaign. And if you want to learn how they work that, you got to read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, how they label people, they personalize and attack them, and blame them for doing what you do every day of the week, like calling the Tea Party people, which are the core ordinary families and citizens of this country, just trying to get the Constitution obeyed, to call them terrorists, when in actuality they are the terrorists. They are the ones destroying the Constitution. Obama's the one that said the Constitution is an impediment to his progressive agenda. We want to get back to the Constitution. So we're not the terrorists attacking the Constitution. He is. But he's calling the people who are after him to get him to follow the Constitution. He's calling them terrorists because that's a Saul Alinsky tactic. It's inflammatory. And the news media parrots it because they're in on it. The major media is controlled by the socialist progressive agenda.
Well, my only concern is if they ever take the Internet away, or we wouldn't get any truth whatsoever. We get a lot of bull on the Internet, but at the same token, there is truth on the Internet. Let me... I want to bring up a friend, a mutual friend of ours, Dean Haskins, and what he's trying to do and how... I know you're a part of it. How do you feel it will do? And I'll just let you tell the story.
I've been asked to be a participant on the first day, and which is to come up with a document declaring the Constitution, you know, reaffirming the authority of the Constitution, and I've agreed to participate in that, and whatever else I can do. I think what he's doing is great, and what's been needed up until now. It's been on a lot of people.
Wait a second. Let's describe what he's going to be doing. The Birther Summit.
He wants to get in Washington D.C. at the end of March of next year. Bring as many people as he can to Washington D.C. to protest the lack of our Congress addressing this. So. If he gets 15,000 people or 1.5 million people in the streets of Washington, I don't know. But he's going to try, and I'm 100% back him. It's a great idea. We got to take it to the streets and with a legally organized protest against our government, because they're not listening to us any other way.
When you say that, it's. I had a situation not too long ago where I confronted my congressman, and it's like you see a blank face.
Exactly.
You see, they look at you like you're crazy.
They're looking right through you, and the words going in their ears are just going out, in and one in and out the other. They're paralyzed. They don't know what to do.
Well, I was told by a representative that's not my representative that for all practical purposes, and I don't want to misquote, so I won't quote, but I'll paraphrase, that Congress is being held hostage, prisoners, whatever you want to call them, over the one issue that you mentioned, and that's the potential of race riots, which Obama would stir up, just like he'd turn the heat up on boiling water. We got to take a quick break, Commander, and we'll be back. Do you mind an enlisted person calling you Commander? I know when I was in, I couldn't call a captain. I had to say Sir.
You can call me Commander. Oh. No problem.
All right, great. Thank you, sir. We'll be back right after this with more of the Terry Lakin Action Fun Radio Show. Right after this.
Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, in obedience to his officer's oath to defend the Constitution, is asking a simple question. Mr. Obama, please confirm where you were born. Terry is not asking to see a secret tattoo or unseal a juvenile record of some youthful prank.
All Terry is asking to see is Barack Obama's legal and verifiable long-form birth certificate and proof that Obama meets the constitutional requirements for presidential eligibility. However, Obama, instead of simply answering the question, allowed Terry to be sentenced with no defense to 6 months in prison, and he lost his pay, benefits, and his pension. Get the facts about Terry's case at www.terrylakin.com. The defense of the Constitution is an issue about which every American should be deeply concerned. Get the facts today at terrylakin.com.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on the Terry Lakin Action Fund Radio Show with Commander Charles Kirshner, and we're talking about eligibility. And, you know,
the thing about Congress, I heard the same thing, that everybody in Congress knows the birth certificate is forged, and they all know, therefore, he's not eligible. I mean, they don't want to buy into the father is not a citizen. They'll argue that, even though the Supreme Court presidential case of Minor versus Tappasset defined what a natural born citizen is, and that's a person born in the country of two citizen parents. They will argue that legally, but they given that they a lot of them believe that you only have to be born in America, which I don't agree with. They now know that that's a forged birth certificate, and they all in their heart and soul believe that he probably wasn't born in America.
You know,
born somewhere else.
Let me ask you if you felt the same way. When he made the big deal in April 27th, I believe it was, I'm going to show my long-form birth certificate. And I sat back and
giving
I said...
Giving us the finger on national TV.
Yeah, and I said... Well, when he first said that he was going to announce it or give it, hand it out and so forth, I said, well, I'll be damned. He's somehow he's come up, or maybe he was literally born, and for whatever reason he's been holding back these last 2.5 years, 3 years. So let's just, and then as soon as you saw it, if you've had any experience in graphics or in basically anything, you saw that the thing was forged. It was,
right.
and it was like,
it's like if you would print up $100 bill on your laser printer, at first glance you'd say, oh, that looks pretty good, but then, uh-oh, wait a minute, you start looking, and within minutes you know it's forged.
You feel the paper, you whatever. And it was the same way, and again, I've said this story too many times, and too many times on this show probably, but when the COLB, the Certificate of Live Birth, the short form...
Certification, you've got to be careful. Certification of live birth.
Okay, so as soon as I saw that, I called my congressman and said, that's baloney. They didn't have laser printers in 1961.
Right.
They, you know, this whole thing, that's baloney. You need to check. Oh well, we've checked it out, and it's all legitimate. And you know, you gotta get along up here if you're gonna get anything done. And
but they didn't check it out.
No, they never checked it out. And it's, and I guess I'm insulted personally by
you got the nation's number one cable news network, Fox News, in the tank for them. O'Reilly saying, I saw his birth certificate.
Yeah.
He never saw anything.
And but this whole thing is saying, and this is the way of the progressive socialist movement, is
right.
You're too dumb to come in out of the rain. I can pass anything
but
by.
What
you
we
say
got
anything
now, though, we got now, David, is people thinking they're doing the right thing to protect the country from going into a violent down spiral. So they're willing to protect a traitor, an usurper, and an illegal president. They're being intimidated by threats of violence, and they think they are doing the right thing by lying to us, the O'Reillys of the world. They've been, these people, I believe, the end of the Bush administration is guilty of this. They had Homeland Security brief these people, do not cover the eligibility issue. We can't have a race riot before he's sworn in.
Oh, I...
sworn in. So these people are still acting under those rules. You can't talk about this. You're gonna cause race riots. And they think they're doing good for the country by not talking about it and keeping the issue suppressed. When in actuality, they're making it worse.
Oh,
they've
no
painted
question.
Themselves in the corner for 3 years now to where there is no legal course anymore that hasn't been corrupted for peaceful resolution, and thus their efforts to prevent a violent solution is almost making it inevitable.
You know, the other thing that you just brushed by there, and the area that I've been extremely disappointed in, maybe something will happen to change my mind, I don't know, but that's the Supreme Court. And I realize that we're barely 5-4.
They're so hung up in technicalities that they aren't going to intervene in this matter unless they're brought a case. And they've turned the ability to get a case to them off by not allowing anybody to have standing. Now, those cases have precedence in the federal court system, so no cases can be brought to them. The only way they can get a case directly to the Supreme Court now is if the states bring it under original jurisdiction.
Well,
they have the ability under the Constitution to go right to the Supreme Court with a case. So,
let me ask this: does this have to be through your state attorney general or through the state?
That would be where it would start. The state attorney general, yeah. You know. But you got to get an attorney general who's backed by his governor, and the legislative part of that state to really get the momentum going to block putting him on. See, that's where it would happen, to block putting Obama on the ballot, and then that case would be brought to the Supreme Court challenging his eligibility. That's the way it would happen.
Well, I guess we should.
Like the state of Texas, though, they aren't using that power they have. They're ignoring it, like the oil drilling problem down in the Gulf. The states had the right to go directly to Supreme Court to appeal those regulations coming down from Obama directly to the Supreme Court. It didn't. They're working their way up through the federal court system. They're playing the game. The states are not using their constitutional authority.
Now, let me ask you why. You pointed this out. You're not an attorney. Why are they not doing it exactly the way you're saying?
Political. It's all political.
Scared?
They're playing the game.
Are they scared? Are they intimidated?
They're just so used to doing it the same old way. Work your way up through the court system. 2 or 3 years later, you get a resolution. This is too important to wait that long. Obamacare, the states could have taken that law right to the Supreme Court under original jurisdiction. They could have filed their appeal of that law directly to the Supreme Court under the concept of original jurisdiction for states.
By the way,
chose not to. They're playing the political game like this is business as usual. And Obama is not business as usual. He's an illegal president.
Let's go back to Terry's case for 1 second.
Sure.
Again, back to the military side of it. It's my understanding, and I've never been in a situation of court-martial or even followed one that closely, but it's my understanding that Terry did everything, and if anybody hadn't been in the military, there's a thing called the chain of command, and everybody, I'm sure, has heard of that. But Terry did everything he could going up to his superior officers,
right,
and questioning. Is that the way you understand
it?
He
filed the appropriate paperwork to ask his question, try to get an answer. He even went to his congressman and filed a request for a congressional inquiry into the matter, and they just all turned a deaf ear to him. He didn't just stand up and refuse to go to Afghanistan, which would have been his second tour to Afghanistan. People listening should know that he was there before. He also served in Bosnia, and he also served in Honduras. So he's not afraid of foreign deployment or into a combat zone. But he didn't just come to that decision overnight. It was a period of a year and a half or 2 years when all the systems inside the military were not giving him any answers whatsoever. And he just thought that in the end, he has to live up to his oath. That's his prime directive. And he considered Obama's orders to be unlawful, to deploy foreign troops into a war zone, American troops to a foreign country in a war zone to be illegal. And it is. If he's an illegal president, the wars he's starting, the people could be charged with war crimes. The German officers were tried because they were supposed to disobey Hitler, and they didn't.
You know,
the Nuremberg defense was being taught to officers. That is not a valid defense. If you consider an order coming down from the highest sources to be, in our case, unconstitutional and illegal, you're supposed to disobey it.
You know, this is what people have to understand. In our brief time of doing this show, you know, Marco and I have both gotten emails from, well, that guy was just a coward and all. Terry, people need to know, Terry is a highly decorated military officer. And
served in two wars, the war in Bosnia and in Afghanistan. He's not afraid of combat.
And this is, and he's a gentleman and an officer. Do you think
he believes in God, and that's the solemn oath at the end, so help me God.
Exactly.
If you believe in God, and you took that oath, and are not just words to you, at some point you've got to make the decision to stand up, and Terry did. And I salute him for that, and I was at his court-martial, and I've been supporting him any way I can since. He's a great man, he's a hero. And someday he's going to be vindicated, and he's going to get a presidential pardon. Mark my words.
I was just about to ask you that. We get a eligible president that knows what the hell he's doing, and not a community organizer that has no clue.
That's right.
Could Terry, even if he wanted, be reinstated?
I don't think he'll be reinstated by the time it gets resolved. He'll probably be past the age of eligibility to serve. But if he gets his record, the court-martial purged, and he gets a full pardon and given the Medal of Freedom for standing up to support and defend the Constitution when few other people would, and reinstate his pension and back pay and any promotions he would have gotten by staying in or being allowed to stay in,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the best he can hope for. And better than that, he will live in history as a true patriot, a man who stood for the Constitution the way the founders and framers intended when they had officers swear that oath.
As long as
to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. There's nothing in there about defending the president or obeying orders from the president.
This is as long as, and I love this phrase, rewriting history. Terry should go down in history.
He will.
If some jerk doesn't try to, quote-unquote, rewrite it.
Well, if we lose our Constitution and lose the country, then the Orwellian 1984 will be writing history.
Absolutely.
And Terry will be down the wormhole, the memory wormhole.
Well, we're going to have to end it there. Commander, you don't know how much I appreciate you coming on the show today. I hope I haven't gone in any wrong directions from your standpoint, and we look forward to you being on another one of our shows in the near future. And
people want to find out more about my writings, go to protectourliberty.org, protectourliberty.org.
Good. And again, our thanks, and if we can ever help you out, and I hope you will take my invitation to come back and be on America's Web Radio.
Help me out by praying for our country.
Well, I think we need two
prayers.
We need
God's intervention, and we need prayer, because if something significant doesn't happen, we're in big trouble.
I think we should have two prayers, one for our country and one for our states to stand up.
That's the solution. The political solution is the states must stand up.
With that, we're going to have to leave you, and stay tuned for more on America's Web Radio. Commander, thank you again, and we'll be back next week with the Terry Lakin Action Fund Radio Show.
Thank you for having me on. God bless America. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.